Turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, of course, we're continuing through our study of Paul's letter to the Galatians. It's a great letter. We've seen some great principles and great truths as we go through this. You know, it's something that a lot of people don't understand, but salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone plus nothing, that the Christian life is a walk of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we look at this letter over and over, we see the contrast between the law system, which is works, and the grace system, which is faith. And as we continue this morning, we're beginning chapter 5. It's a very practical section of the letter. And what we're going to see is that Paul is exhorting the believers to live in freedom, the grace and the faith and the grace system. And Galatians has been called the letter of freedom. In fact, sometimes if you pick up a commentary and it's a commentary in Galatians, it says, Galatians, the book of freedom, or the letter of freedom. We realize that both salvation and the Christian life, and not by works or law or legalism, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is by faith in Christ, not our works. The Christian life is a walk of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. So in this passage, as we look this morning, we'll begin seeing that. We'll be getting to get into what we'd call the practical aspect of the letter, the applicational part of the letter, the Christian life part of the letter, and we'll see that as we go through it. Eternal security. That's a great truth from God's word. Some people say, what exactly does that mean when you say eternal security? We mean this, that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He gives to you eternal life. And eternal life can never end. And so the moment you trust in Christ, He gives you eternal life, and you are saved, and you are saved forever. You are eternally secure in Jesus Christ. We are secure, kept by the power of our great God. He's holding on to us. We're not holding on to Him. Now, there's some people who are confused. There are people who say things like, well, you could be saved, but then you could lose your salvation. Some people even say things like you could fall from grace. That's a term some people use. When you hear people say something like, well, you could lose your salvation, I want you to think about a couple of questions to ask people when they say that. Number one, ask them, how long is eternal life? Because when you say, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you get eternal life. John 5:24 says, the moment you believe, right then, present tense, you have eternal life. So every one of us in this room, if you trust Christ as Savior, the moment you trusted Christ, you got eternal life. How long is eternal life? We'd say, well, eternal life is forever. If you could lose it, then it wasn't eternal life. God would have to say, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him will not perish, but have life till you mess up. Life till you quit believing, something. But He didn't say that. He said, whoever believes has what? Eternal life. In John 10:28, Jesus says, I give eternal life and they shall never perish. So the first question, when somebody says you could lose salvation or you could lose eternal life, the question is, well, how long is eternal life? If you could lose eternal life, it wasn't eternal life. It was life for a while. The second question is salvation by works or faith? If it's faith alone and Christ alone, it's not based on works. It's not based on you keep doing something or not do something. And so when people say, well, you could lose salvation because you didn't do this or you didn't do this or you did this, then is salvation faith or is salvation works? So the bottom line is, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, because salvation is by grace through faith and not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life and you are saved forever. When we look at the passage this morning, there is a verse in the passage that some people try to use. It's taken out of context. Some people try to use to say that you could lose salvation. It's Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, when he says, you have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. And some people think that to fall from grace means you've lost salvation. No, to fall from grace means you've moved from the grace position to the law position. You've gone from living under the grace of God by grace through faith, and you've now put yourself under a work system. And the truth is this, anytime we put ourselves under law, we're not under grace system, either for salvation or for the Christian life. So you can move from law to grace. We're not talking anything about salvation. And when he's writing to these believers, he's writing to the churches of Galatia. He's writing to the believers. And he can say to them, you've fallen from grace. And we'll see it as we get into the passage. Well, this morning, Paul is dealing with, writing to the Galatians, and he wants them to live in freedom. He wants them to understand that salvation is by grace through faith, and the Christian life is a walk of faith, and it's not bondage or law. So let me give you a brief review just to remind us where we are. Remember, Paul the Apostle went into the region of the world, which we call modern-day Turkey. In that time, it was called the Galatian region. He led people to Christ. He established churches. He formed all that. He told them salvation was a gift by faith alone in Christ. He talked about the Christian life. He did all that. After he left, a group called Judaizers came through, and just as you can guess by their title, the Judaizers were Jewish people who believed that you had to keep the Mosaic law in order to be saved, that you had to come under a law system to be saved, and that you lived as a believer. If you're going to be saved, you got to keep the law. They attacked Paul. They said Paul's message was wrong. They said Paul wasn't an apostle. And so when he writes this letter, which we've been studying, we saw that he wrote it to defend himself, that he is an apostle, and that's how he starts the book, and that he defends his message, that salvation is by faith and the Christian life is by faith. And we divided the letter into three big parts. Chapters 1 and 2, Paul defended himself. We got his background. Chapters 3 and 4, he really went into the emphasis on salvation by faith. And now as we get to chapters 5 and 6, we're going to see that the Christian life is by faith. And as we've studied through this letter, we've seen over and over the contrast between law and grace, between works and faith. Paul is given a message that declares that salvation is by grace through faith and the Christian life is by grace through faith. The Judaizers were saying that salvation is coming under the law of Moses, and being saved and staying saved is working under the Mosaic law. As we move to chapter 5, let's remember where we are. Over and over, chapters 1 through 4, Paul keeps saying salvation is by faith. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, he says, we are children of God, sons of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. As we got to the end of chapter 4, he's still contrasting law and grace, and the fact that the believers are to live under grace and not under law. And at the very end of the chapter last week, we saw that he used Abraham's two wives and sons to show the contrast. He said that Hagar and Ishmael were a picture of the law system, and they're under bondage, where Sarah and Isaac are a picture of the grace system, and we're under freedom. And then he ended, and if you would look at chapter 4, verse 31, he says, so then, brethren, talking to the believers, so then, brethren, we're not children of a bondwoman. We're not Hagar and Ishmael, but we're of the free woman, which is Sarah and Isaac. And so what we see there is he says to the believers, we're not of the bondwoman. That's law system and bondage. Not under the bondwoman for salvation, not under the bondwoman for Christian life. We're of the free woman, which is the grace system and freedom. And as he starts chapter 5, here's what he's going to say. You need to stand firm in freedom and not bondage. And there are some of you that have put your faith in Jesus Christ growing up, and you were in churches or systems that put you under a law system, and they taught you that the way to live the Christian life is try to keep the Ten Commandments and come under the law system. And here's these rules that you can't do this and this and this and this and this, and this will make you a spiritual Christian. And they put you under bondage in a law system. The Christian life is not lived under a bondage or a law system. You're going to see that Paul is going to tell the Galatians, stand firm in your freedom. And we're going to talk about what he means with the freedom. Christian life is by faith, not law. It's not legalism. Just as salvation is by faith, the Christian life is by faith. Now, let me show you what Paul does. In many of his letters, and this, of course, one of his letters, he does, in the first part of the letter, he gives doctrinal truth, in other words, theological type things. And then the last part of the letter, he gives practical application things. In Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3, who you are in Christ. Chapters 4, 5, and 6, how you live out who you are in Christ. He does the same thing in Colossians, chapters 1 and 2, who you are in Christ. Chapters 3 and 4, how to live out who you are in Christ. He does the same thing in Galatians. In chapters 1 through 4, it's doctrinal, the message of salvation by faith. And then in chapters 5 and 6, he gets practical, how to live out this great salvation by faith. How do we live the Christian life by faith? Let me give you just a big overview of chapter 5. We're going to see this in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But he talks about the challenge to live by faith and not law. He talks about how to live by faith. He even shows us the results of how we live, whether we live by faith or whether we live under bondage. And we're going to see that. Now, this morning, this outline is already on your handout that you got when you came in. The outline is there, so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. But this morning, we're going to look, start at verse 1. There's the encouragement to stand. And in verses 2 through 6, he's basically showing that law and grace can't go together. They don't go together. You can't say grace of God. Now, let's put ourselves under law. It doesn't work that way. And then the last part this morning we'll see is law. Bondage is not from God. And we'll talk more about that. We'll continue it as we continue next week and the week after. That. Let's begin. Look, go back to verse 31 of chapter 4 and see how it ends. Now, just remember this, that even though we're saying in chapters this, 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 and this, and this, Paul does this, when he wrote a letter, these chapters weren't there. This was a letter, one letter. And by the way, you know, we've taken weeks to go through this, but when this was given to those churches, somebody got up and they read through this whole letter without stopping. You know? Because the letter was to the churches. And so when we're studying it, of course, and you know, I told you at the very start when we studied this letter, one of the things you should do is if you read a chapter a day, you would read the entire book of Galatians every week, because it's 6 chapters, and then you could have Sunday to teach through it and look through it and then, you know, do the same thing. And that way, over and over, you're reading this letter. Because if you only take it a little section at a time, just every week you get 3 to 4 verses, what you need to do is see the letter as a whole. And so that's why I still encourage you to read the book of Galatians every week. And if you want to do it a chapter a day, you can do it in 6 days and be ready. Sometimes you could read the whole book without stopping. It's not that long. And so Paul is writing to them. And go back again to the verse 31 at the end of what chapter 4 is. And just remember, there wasn't any chapter divisions. Paul writes this lit thing, and then he goes right to the next thing. So look what he says. So then, brethren, this is summarizing. He said, we're not children of a bondwoman. We're not under bondage. We don't come to God by law. We don't live by law, but we're of the free woman. It's not bondage of Hagar, but it's the free woman, Grace and Sarah. It was for freedom. Now watch, I love this. Chapter 5, verse 1. By the way, since we're under the free woman, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Don't be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Stand strong in freedom. Look how he starts this thing. Christ, literally it says, Christ makes us free for freedom. When my Bible says it was for freedom that Christ set us free, in the original Greek it says Christ makes us free for freedom. Christ has set us free from sin and death and law and bondage, and he set us free so we can live in a life of freedom. Freedom and love and the power of the Holy Spirit and living to touch lives for Christ. And we're going to see it more and more. We're going to see it as we go through it, because in Galatians 5, it's the passage where he says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll see this. It's where he says, you've been called to freedom, only don't use your freedom for sin. Use your freedom to serve one another. We're going to see that. It's coming up. He says, listen, it was for freedom Christ set us free. You know, by the way, Christ is the only one that can set you free. Law can't set you free. Jesus came and died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. And when you believe in him, you are free. You're free from sin and death. You're free from the law, and you're free from the bondage. Law always causes bondage. Law can't set you free. Christ just set us free. I want you to look at these verses right here. Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law to all who believe. Remember, the law has a purpose. Law points you to Christ. When you come to Christ, you're not under law. Christ is the end of the law to all who believe. Romans 6:14. When you trust Christ, you're no longer under law, but you're under grace. You've never been under a law system. You've never been under a law system for salvation. You've never been under a law system for the Christian life. And that most Christians are struggling because they think that they're under a law system. There are many people out there who are trying to get to God, talking about for salvation, trying to get to God by keeping the rules and saying, if I can just live this, or if I can get baptized, if I can do this, if I can just live for God somehow, I can get to God. That's a law system. Can't get to God by law. Can't get to God by works. You don't live the Christian life by law. You don't live the Christian life in that way. He says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And by the way, I want to say something. When he says it was for freedom that Christ set us free, in the Christian life, you're not free to do anything you want to do. You're free now to serve the living God. You were dead in trespasses and sins and you couldn't serve God. Now that you've trusted Christ, you've been set free. You've been set free to serve God and to touch lives for Jesus Christ. You're not under a law system. I want you to see that in verse 1, he gives a positive and a negative. Notice what he says. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, here's the positive. Keep standing firm. Here's the negative. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. The positive is keep standing firm. Stand firm for Jesus Christ. Stand firm in liberty. Live as a child of God. Live as the child of the free woman. And he says, but don't. Don't be subject. Don't get tripped up. He says, don't get subject again or tripped up again to a yoke of slavery. Don't put under the bondage of the law. Law always binds you. Law always loads you down. He says, Christ has set you free, therefore, stand firm in the freedom in the Christian life and don't get entangled under law. Law always messes you up. Law always messes you up. Just remember that. How are you trying to live your Christian life? Freedom as a child of God, living in the power of the Holy Spirit as you serve God and love others? Are you under bondage to a law? Entrapped by a system of some kind of works, hoping to please God in some way by what you're doing. Legalism or freedom? The charge. Keep standing firm. Don't be subject to a yoke of slavery. By the way, there are two systems. There are two systems, law and grace. They're there. They're always there. They can't exist together. They cannot exist together. Romans 11:6 says, if it's grace, it is no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. How many works do you have to eliminate grace? How many? Just one. That's all you have to have. They can't exist together. It's either grace or works. It's not both. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 12, he said, the law is not of faith. They don't go together. You can't say, by faith, I'm keeping the law. It doesn't work that way. It's by faith I walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a whole different way to look at the Christian life. And the poor Galatians were fooled. People said, here's this system, here's these days, here's these weeks, here's these months, here's these clothes, here's these food, here's all the things you can do and can't do. And there are Christians today, the same thing. You can't do that, you can't play this game, you can't do this, you can't wear those kind of clothes, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can do this, you better do this. And it's just a system of laws. Paul says, that's not how you live. Won't work. Anytime you put yourself under a system of law, it causes problems. In fact, he's going to talk about it. He's going to show that the two systems can't go together. Watch. He says, what happens when you put yourself under law? Notice verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, I say to you that if you receive circumcision, in other words, if you put yourself under Mosaic law, Christ will be of no benefit to you. He doesn't mean you're not saved or anything like that. He's saying as a Christian, you've been under the grace system. If you put yourself under the law system, you're missing out on the grace system. If you receive circumcision, if these Gentile people were putting themselves back under a Mosaic law system, either thinking that we're getting saved or that's how we're to live, he says Christ is no benefit to you. Listen, if you put yourself under law, Christ is the grace system, not the law system. You're leaving Christ. Now, we're not talking about salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation. If I, as a Christian, say, I'm going to start living by all these rules, what you could say to me is, hey, Christ is not benefiting you because his system is grace. You've gone under law. You're missing out on the grace system. He says, it's no benefit. Why is it no benefit? Notice, it's because under law, you do it. Under grace, Christ does it through you. And that's the difference. In the Christian life, you live for the glory of God, but you live in God's power through you. Under the work system or the law system, you do it. And that's a big difference. Look what he says in verse 3, just to make sure they understand it. And then I testify again to every man who receives circumcision, you're going to put yourself under law? You're under obligation to do what? To keep the whole law. If you think that you're going to get to God by works, you better be perfect. If you think you're going to live the Christian life under a law system, you have to keep it perfectly. Listen, in James and Galatians says that here's what it says about law, 3:10. For as many as are under the works of the law, if you're going to put yourself under law, you're under the curse. There's a curse of the law, and here's what it is. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. You're going to put yourself under a law system, you're going to have to keep it perfectly. Whether it's for salvation or for the Christian life, it doesn't make any difference. It's all or nothing. It's either grace system or law system. And so many Christians have put themselves under a law system and they don't realize that law system says you better be perfect if you're going to be under law. That's why so many people are confused. That's why so many Christians don't live a joyous, abundant Christian life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it what? Abundantly. Why are people having the abundant life? You look at Christians, they walk around like this. Why are you so sad? I can't keep the rules. There aren't any rules. It's the power of the Holy Spirit through you based on the Word of God. It's not a law system. That's what's wrong with people. They're under a law system. And the law is bondage. The law destroys. It always does. Look what he says. I testify to every man who receives circumcision. If you're going to put yourself under law, you got to keep the whole law. And here's the results. Look what happens. You have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Listen, severed from Christ means you're cut off from Christ. It has nothing to do with salvation. He's saying you've come to Christ. You're saved. Now you've cut yourself off from Christ and you've put yourself under law. That's what he says. There's no association with grace. So to be fallen from grace doesn't mean you lose salvation. Fallen from grace means you're no longer under a grace system. So when somebody comes to you and says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, you've fallen from grace, that means you can lose your salvation, has nothing to do with it. It means that as a Christian, you've gone from the grace system to a law system. You have fallen from the grace system. So be careful, because you can do that. You can put yourself under rules and laws and restrictions and everything else, and then your Christian life becomes a burden. As I said, people take this out of context. I have people come to me and say, JB, I know you say that you can't lose your salvation, but look right here. I said, you're talking about Galatians 5, 4. How'd you know? Well, because people use this verse all the time. If you put yourself under law, you have fallen from grace. If I said to you, I will give you $5, that's grace. If I said, I'll give you $5 to wash my car, that's law and works. They're two different things. If you say, to get $5, I got to work for it, that's a law system. If you say, to get $5, I just got to take it, that's a grace system. Paul shows the grace system. Watch what he does. He shows the grace and the results. Look what he says in verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. How do we live? Under law. If you put yourself under law, you're no longer under Christ. You're no longer under grace, okay? But he says, but for we, through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, Paul says, we live, he lives by the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and it's a life of faith. Notice what it says, for we, through the Spirit, by works? No, by faith. It's not law. But it's the Holy Spirit by faith. It's a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we live Christian life. Don't put yourself under a burden of law. Can't keep it. Put yourself under grace in the power of the Holy Spirit. As Paul says, for we through the Spirit by faith. And he says, we're waiting for the hope of righteousness. What he's talking about is the blessed hope. He's waiting for the appearing of Jesus Christ. What's the next event that we're waiting for? The Bible says at any moment, Jesus Christ will come in the clouds. Titus chapter 2 says we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The next event. So as we seek to live, living in a walk of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit, we're looking for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, that's how you live the Christian life. It's always by faith. Listen to this. It's always faith. Colossians 2, 6, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, you received him by faith, so walk in him, walk of faith. Galatians 5, 16, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Christian life is a walk of faith. It always has been. He explains in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but it's what? It's faith working through love. See, in Christ, it's not law. It's not whether you're circumcised or not, or whether you keep this or not. Or it's none of that. He says what it really is, it's faith working through love. It's faith and love. Faith worked out in love. Listen, you want to know how to live the Christian life? In the power of the Holy Spirit, you do what Jesus said. Jesus said, love others as I have loved you. Jesus said that they will know you belong to me by your love for one another. Jesus said, as you love your neighbor as, you know, I have loved you. I mean, the idea there is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Love your neighbors yourself. When you wake up in the morning in the power of the Holy Spirit, you say, instead of a bunch of rules I'm going to try to keep, I'm going to go through my life in the power of the Holy Spirit seeking to love God and to love others. That's how we live the Christian life. That's what he says. It's faith worked out in love. And we're going to see it. Listen to this. A little bit later, he says, you're called to freedom, brother. Don't turn your freedom into an opportunity of flesh, but through love, serve one another. Then he says, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole aspect of Christian life is loving others and loving God in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. If you said, well, I don't know what to do, okay, what would you do to show love to somebody else? How do you show you love God? How do you show you love others? It's a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you do it. We're going to see more as we go through the book because we just touch it in this part right now. Now, you've got to understand something. Oh, by the way, the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the key. That's the overarching one. All the others come under that, by the way. Now, let me show you something and remind you of something. By the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk of faith, by the word, we love one another. I want you to understand, these systems, the two systems, can't exist at the same time. You can't be under law and grace at the same time. You're either under law or you're grace. You're either under works or faith. You're under legalism or freedom. You can't be under both. And there are many people who've lived their entire Christian lives under law and bondage. And then they wonder why something seems to be missing. Paul exhorts the believers to go on to maturity. Look what he says in verse 7. You were running well. You were running that Christian life well. You were doing so good. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You were running well. See, they were. He came in there and he told them salvation was faith. It's by gift, by faith. And the Christian life is a walk of faith, loving God, loving others. And after he left, they were running the race good. Somebody came in and tripped him up and said, no, it's not just faith, it's works. If you don't have good works, you're not saved. If you don't do good works, you lose salvation or you never had it. And all of a sudden they got tripped up. And this word meant you were running well, but you fell down. I can remember, I loved the Olympics. You know, I coached track for years at Mississippi State, and I actually coached some people who were in the Olympics. It was so neat. I coached people in the 72 games and the 76 games, and a guy actually in the 80 games. That shows you how old I am because y'all don't even remember those games. But anyway, the bottom line is I can still remember that there were two runners, Mary Decker from the United States and Zola Budd from South Africa. They were two little girls, but they were great distance runners, and they were in the Olympic games in the race. And right at the second turn of this, I think it was the 1500 meters, Zola Budd accidentally tripped Mary Decker and she fell to the ground. And I can still see Mary Decker on the ground, on the track, beating her fist because she knew she couldn't get up and catch anybody else. It was too late. And she was tripped up. And that's the same kind of word that Paul uses right here. He says, you guys started so good. I told you it was by faith alone in Christ alone, and you believed me. And I told you the Christian life was by faith, and you did. And then somebody came in there and tripped you, and you fell down, and you put yourself under law. You were doing so good. Look what he said. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? And by the way, it seems to indicate as we look through this, there was a particular person who was the leader of the Judaizers that were saying this, and we'll see it a little bit later. He says, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who hindered you? Who stopped you? Who tripped you? Listen, he says, it didn't come from God. Notice what he says. This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. Who called him? God did. God called him in grace through faith. It's God's word by salvation and the Christian life. And God is not the one that put them under a law system. Let me tell you, if you're under a law system, that's not from God. God doesn't put his people under law. Had the Jewish people under law for a while for a purpose, but that wasn't had anything to do with their salvation. We've never been under Mosaic law. We've never been under law system. Neither for salvation or for Christian life. And if you got yourself under a law system, that didn't come from God. Let me tell you, it's dangerous when people add law and works. It's dangerous. false teaching, even if it's a little. Look what he says in this last verse that we're going to look at this morning. He says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. If you put a little leaven in the dough, it spreads throughout the whole thing. He says, if you put a little bit of works into grace, it spreads throughout the whole thing, and it's no longer grace. It's what? It's works. See, a little law affects the entire system because you can't have both. It's either law or grace. It's not both. You can't say, well, we got a little law and a little grace. No, you don't. You can't. You can't. How many laws, rules does it take to remove grace? Just one. That's all it takes. You hear people say things like this. You're saved by grace through faith. All you have to do is believe and. All you have to do is believe but. And they always add something else because it's not just, for them it's not just faith. And the Christian life is not a walk of faith. It's a set of rules. And Paul says to the Galatians, you're not under the rules. He says, you were running so well. Who tripped you? It didn't come from God. Don't you know that just a little bit of law messes everything up? Law affects the whole thing. If it's law at all, it is not grace at all. Next time, we're going to see Paul continues talking about this. He's going to say, I have confidence that you guys are going to not adopt this view, that you're going to move away from this old law system, and you're going to get back to grace. And then he says, now, when you get back to grace, I want you to use your freedom, not for your flesh, but for your freedom to serve other people. That's what we're going to see in the next couple of weeks. Let me give you some applications, okay? First of all, stand fast in the liberty we have as believers. Listen, you're under liberty. You're under grace. We're under a grace system. We're from the free woman. We live by faith, not works. It's not a law system. Look at your life. Live by faith. What does he say? He says, we by the Spirit, through the Spirit, by faith. That's how we live. Listen, law and grace can't go together. Law, you do it. You got to do it all. Grace, Jesus did it. And in his power, he lives through you. So stand firm. Stand fast in liberty. Don't let somebody trip you up. Second, live by faith in God's word. It's based on the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a life of love. We're going to see a lot more as we go through the passage. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit in love that we live. It's God's power through us as we love God and love others, and we live a life of faith. And finally, expect opposition. Expect opposition when you proclaim the grace of Christ. We told you that last time, law always attacks grace. It always does. If you tell people you're saved just by faith, people say that's wrong. If you say you live the Christian life by faith, people say that's wrong. You're going to be attacked. When you tell people, no, it's by faith alone in Christ alone for eternal life, and it's a walk of faith and love in the power of the Holy Spirit for the Christian life. And let me just tell you something. Man wants to believe that he can do something to get to God. That's natural. That's what the natural man says. If some of you go out, we go out in this community, we go downtown Stillwater, we stop people on the street, and we say, what do you think a person has to do to get to heaven? And they'll say, I try to go to church and try to live a good life. I say, that's what man thinks. They don't understand grace. They don't understand grace. Be clear on the grace message of salvation. Be clear on the grace message for the Christian life. There is no other way to be saved. There's no other name under heaven whereby we may be saved but the name Jesus Christ. There's no other way to walk but by faith, in love, in his power. May we stand fast in freedom, our liberty, that we have as believers and not put ourselves under law, but keep ourselves under grace, knowing that when you stand for grace, there are going to be goes that are going to be against you.